This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Listen to Your Heart After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. This is The Bachelor's brand new American Idol meets Bachelor in Paradise matchup, and I think we're liking it so far. If this is your first time tuning into AfterBuzz TV, welcome. Normally we're in a beautiful studio, but today we're in our beautiful homes because there's this whole like global pandemic thing that we're dealing with. But of course, we will do anything we can at all costs to make sure we're covering this show. My name is Jeff Graham. So excited to be here. I'm a Bachelor super fan. I do some producing for this network as well as co-producing Maria Menounos' podcast, Better Together. And I'm a Bachelor junkie. And I'm officially a Listen to Your Heart junkie as well. I really like this episode. I'm curious what the rest of y'all thought, because I know Rachel Swindler loved it. I'm going to go to her next. Y'all know Rachel, reality TV fan and Big Brother alumni. Rachel, what did you think?
Oh my gosh, I loved this episode. I was obsessed. I was tweeting. Then I went and followed people on Instagram to see what they were talking about and how the whole Julia Savannah drama, I was way deep into that, and I'm team Savannah for sure. So
that one got me in it.
It got me heated.
I love it. Well, of course, we're also joined by Christine Alexis, another Bachelor insider, huge fan of the series, and writer for PerezHilton.com. Christine Alexis, how did you feel about this episode?
Oh my God, this episode was really good. I was very nervous because I'm like, okay, we're going to shift gears with the whole performance aspect. So like, don't let me down. And they did not let me down. So very excited to get into that.
I agree. Michael Feeling, yo, one of the biggest reality TV fans I know, covers pretty much every reality show at AfterBuzz TV, including Love is Blind, which we have some Love is Blind comparisons coming up on the show later. So with Christine, that's
Christine?
Right.
Christine, yeah, Christine's there. She slogged through that with me too. I really like this episode. I really like this show. There's a ton, I got a ton of opinions about some people not being, I got negative opinions about people, not the show. So I'm pumped to get into it.
Agree. Yeah, we finally got to see some more personality this episode. I feel like we got rounder characters. We're getting to know these people. And I was skeptical about the performance aspect of this show. I'm not sure it's doing what they want it to in terms of like giving us relationship chemistry, but I loved it from a performance angle. I loved seeing everyone sing, and everyone's very good.
Yeah, I have to agree with you, Jeff, for real. I think it's more, the performance aspect is more for my entertainment at this point than to further the storyline, like, so.
Yeah, and none of this, I'll be completely upfront, I don't listen to this kind of music at all. It's almost the exact opposite of any of the music I listen to. So my judgment of how good they are or whatever is extremely subjective. I'm not a good ear with this kind of music. But I like the way everything is developing. And I think it's a really cool, cute element to put in there to kind of break up a lot of the drama and stuff we normally see in the relationship stuff in the house.
I loved the performances. I think the women outshined the men last night for sure.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. And I loved all the cutaways to the judges' faces. I don't know. There was just something that I was just like, oh my God.
Awkwardly long, some of them?
Yeah, I don't know. The cutaways were like a little too long for me and kind of awkward, but I just thought it was funny the way they placed them in there. They were kind of ruthless, the cameramen.
I thought the women really outshined the men as well. I also found it odd because everybody here is super talented, but none of the ladies played any instruments. They only had the guys playing instruments. And I know that the ladies on here can't. I don't know. It popped out for some reason to me. I don't know.
Interesting. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the actual episode. I want to start, I think, with Chris's ultimatum. This is very Paradise as well, where he'll be like, all right, so I know it's been a couple days, and if you don't feel like you're kind of moving towards the L-O-V-E word, or if it's Paradise, if you're not ready to get engaged to these people tomorrow, pack your bags and go.
Oh
Rachel,
my God.
I kind of want to ask you about this, because you've been on reality TV before.
Yes, yes.
What is up with this? Like, do you think these contestants should take this as seriously as they do?
I mean, when he came in and he did that, I literally thought to myself, I would like maybe have an anxiety attack if he came in and said that, because it's so hard to know if you're literally want to love somebody for the rest of your life in a matter of 4 or 5 days. I don't know. I don't know how long they've been in the house or anything like that, but it would be a lot for me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I feel like if I was on the show to get that type of news all of a sudden dropped on me.
Crazy. I mean, like Gabe. So Gabe is the one who like, he's like, the only person I like here is Savannah. I mean, Mike, I want to ask you about this because you're a game master. Should Gabe have just gotten with Ruby, faked it, and tried to advance himself in the competition?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because the whole thing, and like, when we go on and discuss the rest of this, I'll always chime in, at least personally, with like the game perspective to me, because all of it's nonsensical. None of these people fell in love with each other, knowing each other for like 45 minutes. Okay. So either it's some wild exception, like wild love that we actually believe, or they're all playing it up at least a little bit. And I think that's okay. If you have an initial kind of spark of anything, then let's see where it goes, you know? And that's some of the criticism I have in a bunch of the judges' reactions to the lack of chemistry. It's like, they've known each other 45 minutes, maybe.
Exactly.
Obviously, I'm exaggerating, right? But they haven't known each other a month. So like, what do you guys expect? Some of it is obviously put on. And I don't think the show needs that level of drama that we normally see in a regular Bachelor, which moves quick as itself.
Mm-hmm. Christine, were you feeling Gabe?
Gabe should have stayed. He should have had an opportunity. It seems even like with the previews of next week that they might be, some people are maybe open to switching around, especially with the whole Sheridan and Julia. That might be a possibility. You never know. So why self-eliminate? Just go for it.
I don't know. I know you feel that way, and I know you're the gamesman on this panel, but for sure, I think Gabe had to go because it was just, we got too little of him for me to even want to watch him fake it through it with someone else. Like, I just felt like he did his, I mean, we've watched enough reality TV to know if you're getting featured this heavily, this early on in the episode, and we've never really heard you speak prior to that, I just knew it wasn't going to pan out for him. He also picked the worst moment to approach Savannah. This girl's like in tears. He's like, you need to give me love right now or I'm going to go home. I'm like, sir, you can pack your bags and go.
I don't want to monopolize, but let me just toss it back to you, because I agree with what you're saying, but the reason why he got such a terrible edit, right? Because this is all has already happened. So the reason why is because they self-eliminated. If he hadn't and stayed in, maybe you would have seen more of him up front in the beginning. So I just think he should, I don't think you should ever self-eliminate from something like this. He worked hard. He applied. He made it through all this stuff. He deserves to at least sing. We didn't even get to hear him sing. He deserves to at least perform.
Okay. That's where I agree with you, because we didn't get to hear enough of his voice. Maybe that was in there. They edited it out. But for just real life purposes, like maybe he wanted to leave with some dignity. I don't know. Like he did a Hail Mary and it really didn't work out for him. I shudder to think what would have happened had he kept going. I think the producers would have found a way to like get him out of there, because I feel like even having Chris come in there to be like, hey, make sure you're serious, that was them kind of trimming the fat. There's only, what, five more episodes ago? I don't know. They're like, we can't handle this production. Get out of here.
Well, Gabe is also, if I do remember, he's very religious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
From what I remember. And so I think that him just having such strong morals and a background, I think that that's why he left, because he's a normal thinking person with morals and standards, and he doesn't play that reality TV game. That's what I think. And I think that's why he was like, I don't know. But I do think you're going on a show that's your career. So to a certain extent, I'd say, hey, play the game. show yeah. your vocals, show your ability. But on the other hand, he probably just has the morals and he's just like, listen, I got to be true to myself.
What was interesting about this to me was you could almost, this was like classic girl doesn't want the nice guy, she wants the bad boy situation. Because I felt like yeah. during this conversation, Savannah knew like, man, this Gabe guy, he really is in touch with his emotions and he's sensitive. And man, he seems like a nice guy, but like, I'm just not into it. Like she wanted to be into him, but it just wasn't there.
And I give her credit for that because I still don't think you should ever really force it. But I think she yeah. humored him a little bit. She held his hand. I got that little shot. And I was like, oh, sweetie, just let him go. Yeah. She let him down easy anyway. So,
yeah, I'm trying to create a rose shirt. But
I,
don't think
I was like, what is happening?
All right, I'm going to fix my background while I'm talking. So I want to, speaking of Savannah, I want to talk about this crazy kind of love square we have. So Sheridan likes Julia, but Julia likes Brendan, but Brendan likes Savannah. And like, this was so messy. I'm going to say it. Every single step of the way, Julia is handling this situation wrong. And everything she's saying is twisted. And Savannah is doing a great job of defending herself. And Julia needs to grow up because everything she's accusing Savannah of is exactly what she's doing to Sheridan.
I mean, just scream your insecurities, why don't you? Like, dang, everything she was saying, I'm like, why are you talking about yourself? You're disingenuous. Right. You're here for, like.
I know.
It's just, man, she did not look good. Honestly, after that, I was like, in my mind, I'm like, yo, Savannah for Bachelorette. Damn. Like.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kidding, but yeah. like, you know.
No, Julia, this whole thing, I'm 100% team Savannah. I thought the way that Julia handled this was just. I don't know, disgusting. And then I saw a tweet by somebody. It was so funny. So at the end of the episode, when she says, I would never fake, she says something like, I forgot the tweet. Now I can't remember. But she said something about being disingenuous. And they're like, that's how you are with Sheridan, honey child. Like,
she even knew the irony in it. Because after her performance, she's like, ironically, the judges, you know, we'll get to that later. But
yeah,
somehow the judges saw chemistry with her. And it's like, sweetie, you're a really good actress. Like you're selling it.
I went around and around. I feel like every 5 minutes I switched teams on who I was annoyed at for this entire situation. I'm probably most annoyed at Brendan, who's kind of not getting brought up. If he wasn't messing with both of these girls at the same time, the situation probably wouldn't happen. And I feel the worst for Sheridan. Because I think he's the realest, nicest person, especially in this little grouping, who's done nothing wrong and doesn't deserve Julia to be flip-flopping on him. So at the end of the day, I still put it on Brendan because he's teasing Julia. Yeah. And again, if we go back to the whole gameplay aspect of it, they barely know each other. So does it make sense for Julia to potentially like two guys? Like, yeah, it does. It makes sense for all these people to potentially have a connection with multiple people. But if Brandon's going to keep on the low, like, yo, I'm glad you're still here. So like we can continue. That's super foul. That's not cool. Right. That's not
fair. Which I said last week, he was going to do that. I said last week, he was going to say that.
There you go.
I knew it. Yeah.
So at the end of the day, Sheridan's the one to really get hurt because he ends up being extremely passive. He can't do anything. He hasn't done anything wrong.
Right.
And yo, you can pick.
Yeah. It's a great point, Mike. I mean, like, I feel like the internet was quick to blame Julia on this one, which I get, but there's almost, you wonder if there's some buried sexism in this because like Brandon's behavior is pretty bad too. And like people weren't coming after him as hard. And I'm calling myself out because like, you're right. Brendan is guilty in this too. And I have a couple thoughts about Brendan. One, I kind of don't get the appeal. I'm like, why is everyone so into this guy? And I want to ask the ladies about that. He looks like Kanicki from Greece. I think Brett Vergara tweeted that, which is hilarious. And two, okay, another like strike against Brendan. I have to say it quickly. When Savannah's opening up to him and he's like, well, you're just going to go home and cry about it?
Yeah.
What was that?
That was crass.
That was crazy. It was like, who is this? Especially when she just sent Gabe home. My third thing about Brendan is a great point, and it kind of just flew out of my brain. But I'm going to let Rachel talk about whether or not Brandon's appealing and it's going to come back to me.
I'm going to be honest with you. Do I think that Brendan was in the wrong for, you know, going up to Julia and saying, you know, that's the reason why I picked Savannah, because I still want to see if there's something with you. I mean, again, like we have said, it's very hard to make a decision of who you love or who you want to be with in that small amount of time. So I can understand how he could be conflicted between two girls, between two women. And then also, I actually liked the way that his conversation went with Savannah. I thought he handled it actually pretty good. I thought he manned up and he owned, I can't remember every single thing that he said, but I feel like he manned up and he was like, you know what, I got to make a decision and I'm going to make a decision right now, which he does. So I was pro him. But then when we got the teaser for the next episode, I was like, oh. So I don't know.
I feel like you all brought up, especially the guys, you guys brought up good points about Brandon. I feel like there is some sexism there, but more so in the editing. I'm going to throw this one on the producers because I think just like Julia, like they're both going through a lot of indecision and obviously a lot of like mixed emotions. We're just only hearing from Julia. We're getting this, you know, they're editing it. It's like these two women are against each other. And I actually saw a lot of people tweeting about that this was a missed opportunity for both of them to maybe kick Brandon to the curb. But then again, we wouldn't have this drama that we're enjoying right now. But I agree with you, Rachel. I thought the conversation with Savannah went well up until that last part, where he made that kind of crass comment at the end. To me, it was like, oh, you're doing so good. Just leave it there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, the ball's in his court. He's, no offense, he's acting like a man. He's weighing his options. He's doing his thing. So it's like,
I hear you, Christine. I think the point I wanted to bring up earlier was, yes, I agree with you. This could have been a great, like, women supporting women moment, which we got at first. At first, I felt like Julia opened up to Savannah and the conversation was fair and cordial and civil and respectful. But then later, Julia comes back and she's trying so hard to implicate Savannah. She's like trying every angle. And Savannah navigated this conversation so well, where Julia's like, well, like, I just think, like, just so you know, like, it seems disingenuous. Right. She's like, A, who are you to tell me this? B, exactly. It's not your business. 3, I don't care how it seems to you. This is our relationship. Like, go worry about your own stuff. I was like, wow, that was well handled.
Well, the confrontation was silly, right? Because Julia wasn't being honest. The honest thing is she's into Brandon and that's why she's got a problem with it. That's what it is. And she flat out says, I'm completely not attracted to him or whatever it is. There's no connection. You're straight lying. Right. It's a blatant lie, right? And then just to circle back on Brandon, if Brandon hadn't done the little whisper thing after last elimination, none of this probably would have been a problem, because the little whisper thing is kind of what leads Julia on and gives her more hope, let's say, that there's an opportunity. However, now that I've taken all this away from him to give him some points back, they didn't probably know this was the last elimination before it's couple up or done, right? So maybe I'm still going to explore a little bit, and we're not down to the wire to choose our lifelong partner now after 4 days. So
yeah,
it's really rough. The big problem is now going forward, if these games are still going to be played with the three of them, because right, if you look at the bigger gameplay, none of it's going to be good for their relationship. None of them are going to sing as good, and they're all just going to get eliminated anyway.
Interesting. Okay. I want to move on to these one-on-ones, but any other thoughts about Brandan Naradin? I tried to make their name a one name.
Brandan. I feel like we'll get back to them later when we talk about the performances, but...
Cool.
Yeah.
Great. Well, let's move on and talk about some of these dates. So we got to know Danny better this episode. Also, bye, Danny. And Becca, too. I feel like we, like, learned all about them and got to know them, then they got booted, but...
Okay. Did anybody feel like Danny read a little bit gay?
Yeah.
If he's bi or what, I don't know. When they started talking, that was the immediate vibe I got. I don't know. Like friend vibe. And also like, I could see him being her gay bestie or something. I don't know.
I kind of got that too. I got more like friend zone maybe, or just like awkward comedy guy. Like I kind of got like,
yeah,
like weird high school Jim Carrey impersonator. And like, we found out
he is an impersonator.
Yeah. He's a celebrity impersonator.
Yeah.
He did not make much sense to me. Like, I was just kind of like, what, you know, when you're looking at those things and it's like, which thing doesn't belong? I was like, I think Danny, the celebrity impersonator from Sherman Oaks, does not belong.
Yeah.
I realized that it was his job.
I know.
I went and I stalked him after I saw Celebrity Impersonator, because I impersonate different characters. So I was like, I want to see, you know, what he does. So I went on there and I was listening to a couple things, and I don't know. I was just like, oh, okay. He's got a pretty big following. He's got like 100 and some thousand YouTube.
Okay.
A lot of YouTube views. So yeah, he does have a lot of views. It looks like he has like a guy he does it back and forth with. He does all these different characters. God, now I just lost my thought of what I thought about him.
Their date, the chemistry.
Yeah, no, the chemistry just like, it wasn't there. Like he said, friend zone 100%.
I felt bad for him. I don't know. I thought he was trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
He seemed like a genuine person, right? I thought he was trying to have a good time. I don't know. I didn't like the way she was acting. I'm not saying she has to be attracted to the guy at all, but for me, it seemed...
She wasn't trying as hard though. She wasn't even like trying to bridge the gap.
I mean, that was the thing. It seemed like in the beginning, yes, there's attraction. Okay, we're going to go on a date. I'm not saying you guys got to be in love, but are you attracted? Yeah. Okay, cool. So we're going to kind of try this out. And then I know you're going to get to the performance, but the way she acted then and then after, the inconsistency annoyed me when it seemed like this guy was putting forth a solid, legit effort. Hmm.
She seemed annoyed by him. That's the like bother. She seemed annoyed by him. And also when we get to his performance, I'll talk about what I thought about their voices and stuff. But I kind of feel like I know what was going on. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I'm going to save the rest of the performances, but I feel like this performance discussion is so crucial because it talks about their chemistry and how they left. So let's talk about it now. If they're wanting to like show us and each other and the judges that they have real chemistry, don't sit on like elevated office chairs apart from each other.
I'm just gonna say it straight up. Unfortunately, from what I heard, Danny didn't sound like he had that great of a voice. Yeah. And it sounded like Becca had a pretty damn good voice. Then there was like another clip at the end where he was singing or he was warming up or he was doing something. And she was like in that little montage at the end. Yeah. And so, and in total, I just think she didn't think he was talented. I'm gonna be honest, straight on to you. I'll be the first to say I was in a relationship with somebody I didn't think was talented. He was a singer. And I remember thinking to myself, I don't think I can be with this guy. Cause he's not
it's a reflection of you.
Totally.
Yeah. I just think she maybe thought a little too highly of herself and she was like, I don't know for sure, but that's kind of the vibe I got. Yeah.
Then did she sabotage their performance by making that face both times when they kissed? Because that was so telling. It was like, like you don't do that when you like a guy. Like, I don't know. You're more like shy and bashful or, you know, you're into it. You don't make that like,
cringe face.
Goofy cringe.
Oh, she cringed.
Yeah. I felt bad. Yeah,
like,
the man.
And even before when they were like backstage, she's like, well, I don't want to get lipstick on you. I'm like, sweetie, you don't want him kissing you. Just say it.
I don't know. I felt really, really bad. Obviously, again, she's not into him. That's cool. But then she's self-sabotaged. She's like, I'm just going to kick myself off the show. If you're going to make weird faces at him or whatever and not support your partner, then actually you kind of don't deserve to be on the show. And they're performing, right? I know it's music. It's not a play or something, but it is still kind of acting. There's nothing that she couldn't give him a cute little peck at the end there instead of this it's like fifth grade, right?
Yeah. It was very juvenile.
We're playing a role. There's a point to the show. Yeah. We're putting on a performance for everybody of love and this love songs and all that kind of stuff. And I just thought, man, like, why would you do that? That seems really crummy.
That's a good point, Mike. Yeah, I think they were both immature. Yeah, I think they're both immature in different ways. Like, I feel like Becca was sort of like high school theater kid immature, and Danny was kind of like high school improv kid immature. but I wish them both the best. They both seem like, you know, great people. And sure. I felt like Becca may have regretted a little bit of how she handled the situation on her exit.
Kicked off the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on Becca and Danny?
Maybe we'll see Becca in paradise. Yeah. If it happens, whatever.
I was going to say that after the whole ordeal, I thought it made the elimination very anticlimactic. I was like, oh, they're going to go home. Right away.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
100%. Obvious. way obvious.
Cool. Okay. Ryan and Natasha, they're interesting to me. Christine, how did you feel about them going to Anaheim to the House of Blues and seeing Lauren Bushnell. Bachelor royalty.
I think this was an extra plug to get Lauren and Chris in there without having them judge anything just yet. And yeah. It also doubled as a practice set for Natasha mm-hmm. and Ryan, because what actually was the point of this date? These two dates actually felt really unnecessary to me, aside from getting Becca's backstory. But with Natasha and Ryan, I have very different thoughts about their elimination night performance than I do about the House of Blues one. Yeah. I actually felt like Ryan was like trying to like have this moment with Natasha, and she was just like all in the mic, like performing, like she was using that moment for herself.
Yeah.
I was like, where is this gonna go?
they are just complete opposite still, in my opinion. I mean, yeah. When I saw the date, I was like, I don't understand. They're saying they have a strong connection at the end of it, making out in the hallway. And I'm just sitting there like, this just feels awkward. I don't feel it at all. But I think Natasha's playing the game.
Totally.
100%. Oh. This girl knows this is reality show number 3. She's playing the game.
3, 4, who knows, girl?
But I mean, we'll get to her performance too. But yeah, girl, she's playing it. And I think he's just like, oh, Natasha.
I know. I think he's playing the game too, if we're being honest. And Mike is our game master. What do you think?
I, you know, far be it from me to suggest that anything is not on the up and up with the Bachelor franchise. But if I was to, if anybody's going to put in the chat, I haven't watched Bachelor Fan Takes take on it yet, because he's usually the tinfoil hat person. But if I was going to be the tinfoil hat person, I would say that this show is a vehicle for Natasha. If we were going to do conspiracy stuff, she is gorgeous. I think for me, anyway, has the best voice. We heard the judges just like glowing over her. I'm surprised she's actually on the show and that she doesn't have a record contract already.
Yeah.
So I would be very surprised if she doesn't last the whole length of this show.
That's a very interesting point. I mean, I will say, her and Ryan have such completely different musical energies. Yes. They don't make sense as a pairing. Mm-hmm. But I do think if we're looking at like the stock and star power value and potentially monetary value they could offer to like an ABC record contract, I kind of think both of them may have the most like star power in terms of people that could actually have careers.
Yeah, I think they both understand the business in a way that no one else on the show does.
Yeah.
I think they both made that very obvious. Natasha with her confidence and her voice. Ryan with, you know, what we saw from him on episode 1, kind of schmoozing those musicians and producers that he met. I feel like they both have a good, like, understanding of what the show could do for them, to your point. And they can continue to sell it like they did tonight and go really far, or the chemistry or lack thereof between them will, you know, just eventually be their undoing. But they'll both be fine after this. Make no bones about it.
Yeah. And I mean, they said, we have the strongest musical connection. What I know Natasha had said that when they were sitting down, which is pretty true, because if they don't really have a romantic connection. It's musically that they have a connection. And I think it's showing. And that's why they're
down the hallway.
They are.
And that's like one kind of issue I have with the show is like the show is making this big assertion that like, the only way you can be good musical collaborators is also you're also good romantically.
Right.
Which is not true. I mean, all of us are creative people. There's plenty of people. I mean, like even women that I'm a writer, and I have women I write with who there's no romantic chemistry, but we work really well creatively.
Man, think of how much better your writing could be.
Yeah.
You work with someone you don't even like. Like, just period. Yeah. You know, this is our industry. There's big personalities. And I work with people I dislike, and we still put out bomb content. So.
Totally.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite really famous examples of this is the magicians Penn and Teller.
Yeah.
They've been asked, how have you been a duo for so long? And their basic thing is like, we're really, really good coworkers. Yes, we're friends, but we don't hang out outside of work. We're not, you know, going to barbecues and best friends like that. We're professional partners, and we have this strong partnership, and we respect and we're friendly. But that's what it is. So absolutely, you don't have to have some romantic connection to sing well together.
Yeah, and I think Ryan and Natasha are totally proving that, because like, there's not even 1% of me that believes there's any kind of like romantic chemistry between these two. I mean, I think they're playing it up for the show, but like, I think
they made out.
Yeah, they made
in
out
in the hallway.
Right.
But they're both questionable kissers, if you ask me. I don't know. They're questionable.
And I think they made out for the cameras. They made out strategically. They made out for their edit. But Ryan was saying, I'm not the kind of guy Natasha would normally go for. And I don't think, honestly, Natasha's the kind of girl Ryan would normally go for.
No.
Look at Jamie. Come on. This is not the same person.
But creatively, there might be something here. So we'll have to talk about these performances. Speaking of, I want to move into the performances now. Any last thoughts on pre-performance dynamics before we move on to part two of the show?
kind of, but I'll get to it when we get to the couple that I'm thinking of.
Okay, great. Well, let's go couple by couple. First up, Matt and Rudy. I'm going to say it. This was my favorite performance of the night.
They slayed that performance.
I felt bad for everybody else. That bar was up in the air. I was here we go.
Yeah, well, it's one of the most solid performances between both people. Both Matt, both Matt and Rudy both hit it out the park, in my opinion. So yeah,
that's a good point. Matt sounded like he held his own.
Yeah, I thought Matt held his own, and comparatively, as we'll see with other couples, one person would outshine the other, and they were pretty even, in my opinion.
They also really balanced their harmonies. A lot of these couples just sang in unison and separate octaves, which is a much easier go than real harmonization. And Matt and Rudy had really tasteful harmonies. They both took melody. They were both able to lead and slide back when they needed to. In terms of both performance and what I think is creative chemistry, these two knocked it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I think for the two of them, they're the perfect example of, they're not sucking face and going crazy or whatever. They have they're attracted to each other. They've got the flirty stuff, like she smacked him or whatever, and they've kissed and they've got the flirty stuff going on, but they're not, doing 1,000 miles an hour. We're going to get married tomorrow. They're seeing where it develops. Yeah. And they don't have this stress of having to have a crazy relationship right off the bat. And it's coming through in their performance and people can
see
their
connection.
Yeah. They're having a great time.
They're having fun.
Yeah.
It's a great point.
They're having fun.
So our relationship chemistry evaluators, JoJo and Jordan, they could tell that the two really enjoyed each other. How did we feel about having JoJo and Jordan voice their opinions on these performances?
I think that this is, I don't know. I said last time, I don't get it. I don't understand. That would kind of piss me off if I was honestly on stage and they had, I'd be starstruck and be like, ugh. But in the back of my mind, I'd be like, well, who are you to judge me?
Right.
For a five-minute performance.
I don't know, maybe because it's JoJo, no real shade towards her, but I feel like a lot of her commentary sometimes is just kind of flat. It's I'm kind of really looking forward to next week, because I know Rachel and Brian will give us some really pointed commentary.
You're right.
Where
it's a great
I'm like
point.
Okay, this pissed them off to do something else, or whatever. I felt like JoJo and Jordan were kind of almost just parrots. You're repeating what we all saw. I'm not feeling anything different from what you're saying.
That's a great point.
Except for one point when I was the producers pushed y'all for this.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to it. Okay, Bree and Chris, also great. I really liked Chris's voice especially.
Yes.
How did you feel about this this performance?
I mean, I love him. I was actually a little bit disappointed because Chris didn't do more, because we've seen how talented he is. So of anybody, I was like, awesome, Chris is gonna kill it on some piano and have this whole thing, and they just sang. That's not bad, but I mean, they're a shoo-in for one of the top couples. They probably have the best romantic connection in the house and extremely talented.
I agree. I loved that. I mean, they commented on the way that they looked at each other, which you could tell the love, especially coming from their eyes. You could really tell it. I agreed when they said Brie was a little bit showy, and it seemed a little bit disingenuous, but I mean, that's just nervousness and stuff. But I mean, I enjoyed them. They were great.
I was kind of annoyed at the judges for that, because I feel maybe a little bit too much, but for the most part, I feel like she had a good balance of
she was trying to
Chris. Yeah, but I agree with you, but I also feel like because this is the first week of performances, I feel like they're all kind of sussing out how much they're supposed to be performing.
And I agree.
Their chemistry.
I agree.
So I feel they were a little harsh considering it was their first go, because we can all
see
they mesh. So I was like, just chill. Okay.
That's a great point. It's not like, I don't know, pick it. It's not like Aerosmith met and then a week later they were performing on TV for everybody and being judged. right?
And it just kind of, like, to me, that was Jason Mraz who said that. He was like, Brie, you're pulled between the audience and Chris. And it's like, to me, all he's doing is identifying sort of the identity problem with this show. Where, like, is it a music show? Is it a chemistry show? Is it a love show? Not even Jason Mraz knows. So, like, I felt like all that commentary did was, like, confuse everyone and, like, identify maybe a bit of producing problems with the show. Let's get Becca and Danny because we covered that already. All right. Brandon and Savannah. Brie, I have a screen grab. Is it possible to share that with us? I emailed it to you, Brie. I bet you guys can guess probably what the screen grab is. Brandon is the weirdest performer I've ever seen. I did not like this.
Yeah, not very, only is he bland as a person, as a performer, trash. I'm sorry.
Wow.
She said it. She said it.
That was harsh, but...
I loved Savannah, though. I thought she was great, and I thought that she connected with him more than he connected with her, I will say, in the performance. But I didn't necessarily agree with the judges 100%, but I was also on the Savannah train the entire episode and was, like, really pro-Savannah, so I really wanted her to do well. So when I watched the performance, I was like, yeah, this is great! And then they were like, oh, no, and then I saw Julia's smug face. Anyways.
Yeah,
it wasn't bad. Go ahead, Mike.
I don't want any of my commentary from before to think I dislike Savannah, because I do. I think in this whole nonsense, she's done nothing wrong. I don't think she's should be culpable of anything. I liked her performance too. I thought they performed fine together, but not to the extent that all the drama and everything should have produced. Like, this is the cuddly. Oh, there's been problems and they're coming together, you know.
I mean, they were singing "I Want You to Want Me," and I did not feel that. Oh, thank you. Of all songs, I was like, I don't think you like.
So is Julia and Sheridan. I can't remember the name of their song, but it was also
"As Long As You Love Me."
There you go. It's so strange.
You're right. That's smart producing, because both of those song titles are like hypothetical love songs. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Ryan and Natasha. I mean, really interesting performers, very different kinds of performers. Mm-hmm. I think one of the issues was with their differences was that Natasha's kind of again, she tried to be the next Pussycat doll. That's kind of her energy. Because I feel like Ryan really
that's spot on. Is
kind of more like a, you know, like a
Vegas performer.
She's or even like singer-songwriter type of energy. So they both did their best. I'm excited to see them hone their unification more.
I did like the take on the song, though. It was like more of like this sultry reggae vibe for Rihanna's "Stay."
Yeah,
and like cool. I thought out of all the couples, like Rudy and Matt were still my favorite, but the way Natasha came out and the way Ryan kind of started, like the way they sold their performance, I was like, okay. I mean, I'm still interested to watch this. Like, yeah. I couldn't take my eyes off them.
That's it. She's so polished. That's what I was kind of saying before. She's so polished. She's gorgeous. The talent up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She choreographed the whole thing. I watched Ryan's Instagram story today because I just randomly went to it. And he was like, yeah, Natasha, she did everything. She did this. She did that. She choreographed it. I said, before they even went on the stage, she was probably like, listen, we better do this and we better do it right. That's how I could see Natasha talking to him for some reason.
Oh, for sure. And that's kind of the element of like produced chemistry that like performing is an act. You're acting when you perform. And some of these people are acting for JoJo and Jordan, which is fine. I'm going to quickly, if we're able to roll it in, Brie, I do have this photo I wanted to show. This is Brandon performing. I don't know if we're able to see it or just the fans are able to see it. Mm-hmm. Oh, just the fans can see it. Well, they're going to get a nice little treat. I grabbed a screen grab from Brandon's performance. It is very, very interesting.
Did it kind of look like this?
Yeah. More like... okay. Finally, Trevor and Jamie, who I'm shocked we haven't really talked about yet. The first question I have to ask, have you ever seen anyone who's more 21 years old than Jamie?
I wrote that too.
Oh my gosh.
I wrote Jamie is very 21. Yeah. He is so 21.
Forever 21.
I saw the picture now.
I don't want to mess things up. I don't want to.
But in the beginning of the episode, Jamie was like, I can't wait to be on the road and sing. This is my dream.
I know.
I'm real freaked out, even though she's already sang with Trevor before. I
I feel like, I'll be honest with you. I feel like they're producing this to where that I feel like they're going to win. I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say that because the way that they're producing it, it's just too much for me. Like, it's too much. We don't get enough of the other people. It's all about them. So I feel like they're trying to make us fall in love with them so that we'll want to go on their tour at the end of this. That's what I feel.
Yeah, I don't want to be crazy harsh because I think they're nice people. However, if every episode, everything with her is going to be this crazy lack of confidence, after a while, I think it's going to get a little tiresome. If that's the only thing we kind of get is this lack of confidence, but when they do it, it's fine. And then yay, it's like, oh, God, we got it. Like, let's, you know, let's do it now. Just do your stuff.
I agree. That's kind of annoying me a little bit. And I was, for a second, actually, I wrote that down. I was like, is the lack of confidence, like, with Trevor, is like, is he making her feel insecure about herself? Because that's not a good place to start off romantically. But I'm inclined to believe maybe that's just her personal struggle. She is still 21 and she didn't open up about that. It's just her, but
she had that on her date with Ryan, right? So,
right.
Yeah.
I also think the key was way too high for her on the song. Like, it seemed like she was struggling in the beginning.
Yeah, what was I going to say? I also think Jamie, this is probably the biggest thing she's ever done in her life. Again, being 21 years old. And I think that as we see this process go on, I think she's going to gain more confidence, or at least I hope so. Because it is getting annoying. Like, you cry wolf, you know, how many times are we going to cry wolf? Like, I don't change the key. But also, what was I going to say? I'm curious what you thought, Jeff, because you're a singer. Were they singing in octaves or were they harmonizing?
Yeah, the whole time. It was unison the whole time. No harmony, which I was so disappointed by. And I will say, as someone who like arranges music, like that's what I did on the ship, was actually arranged our show and orchestrated it and everything. I'm going to say this and it's going to sound shady, but I kind of question their musical talent. If there's no harmony, if it's all unison, I think they both have a good package. They both have the look. They both have star quality, but I'm not sure how much like deeply buried musical talent there is under the surface for both of them. Cause I don't know. I want to see more. That's what I'll say. I'm not going to make that assertion yet, but this was very vanilla for me.
You think that for him with his background of being on American Idol and making it
top
so far?
50.
Do you think he's dialing it back for her?
Maybe.
He said at the end of the episode, he said, I've never had any formal training before.
Yeah,
that's true. Yeah.
Yeah. That was the whole montage at the end.
Which is fine too. But he's probably learned on his own. So there might be some things he doesn't know.
It's pretty good for being self-trained. That's not bad.
Yeah.
To the point you guys made before though, about like them heavily producing this couple in particular, I definitely feel like even to the way the judges gave them that reception, I feel like if it was another couple, they would have been like, where's the energy? Or like, where's the chemistry? They very much kind of like babied her through it. I don't want to like talk down to her that moment, but I feel like they're very much leading us to believe that, like, you know, these two may not be the most perfect singers or performers. They might have had a little rough start in the beginning, but they're made for each other, and they're going to be this golden couple we get at the end. I'm already like, can we not? Like, there are more interesting and talented couples on this show.
Yeah. No one got a little speech after their performance like she did.
Exactly.
Yeah. Right?
Like, he got some more time. Yeah.
It was also a really interesting moment. I know we got to get out of here soon, but the interesting moment that said a lot about Trevor was when Jamie rolled on the ground. He was like, you're in a white dress. And I was like, oh, Trevor is very aware of production and he's very aware of wardrobe. And you don't say that unless you're like thinking about the whole 360 of being on television. And that's why I kind of question them a little bit as musicians. And it's fine to want to be a star rather than a singer. But I think both of them want to be stars more than they want to be like musicians, if that makes sense.
Did we talk about Julia and Sheridan?
No. Oh my gosh, I skipped it.
We did.
We have to cover it fast, guys. Chris, Rachel, what did you think of Julia and Sheridan?
I didn't really enjoy it, to be honest with you. But again, I was team Savannah. I mean, I didn't think that it was to the caliber that the judges were going goo goo gaga over. I was like, what is going on? Why are they doing this? Just Julia and Sheridan, do they have good voices? Yes. But I thought Julia was putting on a show. I didn't believe what she was doing. What she was doing was disingenuous, in my opinion.
I agree.
And I felt like having them go back and forth with like Brandon and Savannah, that's where I started to feel like, did they tell the judges to point out the exact opposite thing in their performances? Because it felt almost too pointed, you know, cutting to Julia every 5 seconds for her reaction and the commentary. Mm-hmm. I was like, all right, you're overdoing it. I can't. Mm-hmm.
I actually liked it. I don't disagree that there was some acting and stuff going on, but if there is, this is the exact thing I'm talking about. That's how you can act. That's how you can make it look like it. This is a performance. And overall, forgetting all the side nonsense, I liked their performance. I was down with it. I think it's completely genuine from his side. I think he's really into her. And that's what makes me upset.
Well, yeah, I agree. He had an
easy song too.
I think that's what brought me out, though, was I felt like their performance purposely reflected their relationship, where it was it was Julia leading with Sheridan backing her up. He never really took melody, and I would have liked to have seen a duet rather than a featured solo with some backup singing and instrumentals behind Julia. But it speaks to the dynamic of their relationship.
Yeah, and it was just too cheesy for me, too. I don't know. There was just something. There was a cheese level about it that I was just...
Yeah. For the podcast listeners, make sure you get on YouTube to see Rachel impersonating me, speaking of impersonation. All right. We're actually over time. We got to get out of here, guys. But as we say goodbye, you can make one prediction about next week. That'll be how we cook in our prediction segment. This is the first time dealing with a new format, which is why we weren't quite as tight on time, but we'll tighten it up for next week. In the meantime, Rachel, where can you be found and what do you predict for next week?
You can find me at Rachel Swindler on Instagram or at Rachie Swin on Twitter. I do tweet about the show. My prediction for next week is we're just going to get more. I think Savannah might go home. I think she might be like, peace out, Brandon.
Christine Alexis.
What's up, guys? I'm Christine Alexis. Thanks for joining our after show. Catch me on Twitter at Christine Bean and on Instagram at Christine I Alexis on both platforms giving you Bachelor News Daily tea. As for next week, I think things are going to switch up. I think maybe people won't go home, but maybe Savannah and Sheridan might couple up to just spite Brandon. Who knows? I don't know. I also don't think there'll be a rose ceremony next week. I think they might like suss us out with like a to be continued.
Yeah. Mike?
Guys, thanks so much for joining us in the chat. Eric, Diana, Joseph, Rachel, J Jobs, Flaky Gaming, Diana, myself. I don't have a great prediction for next week. My prediction is that nothing much is going to change. I think we're going to have the same saga with Julia and Savannah and Brandon. I don't know if it'll come to an end, but I don't think the rest of the couples, anything is going to change much or be very dramatic. I think it's going to be more of the same. But you can follow me ever at Mike Dealing.
I kind of agree with you, Mike. You guys can find me on Twitter at Jeffrey C. Graham and Instagram at Jeffrey Crane Graham. I think Matt and Rudy are going to heat up, whether that's romantically or musically. Yeah. I'm excited to see them give us a little more because they stole the show from me this week. So we'd love to hear who your favorite couple was. Let us know down in the comments below. If you're on the podcast, thanks so much for listening. We read your reviews. We love them. We'll try to get some of those on air next week. And stay safe. Keep your social distancing going and wear a mask when you go outside. We love you guys, and we'll see you next week here The Bachelor Listen to Your Heart After Show.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.